from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, Senate lawmakers have reached a deal on a $2 trillion rescue package to address the economic devastation wrought by the coronavirus pandemic. We look at what's in the bill and how it might affect Californians. Then at 9:30, President Trump said at a Fox News town hall yesterday that he wants the nation opened up very soon.
I said earlier today that I hope we can do this by Easter. I think that would be a great thing for our country, and we're all working very hard to make that a reality.
This comes as California coronavirus cases climb and as New York State announced that its case count is doubling every 3 days. We take your questions and talk about best practices after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in for Michael Krasny, who is on vacation, or actually a staycation. Today on Forum, Senate lawmakers have reached a deal and are set to vote today on a $2 trillion economic stimulus bill that would provide direct payments to individuals and families, massive loans to both small and large businesses, and expand benefits for laid-off workers. In this opening half hour, we look at what's in the bill and how it might affect Californians. Joining me first is Silicon Valley Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, who also chairs the Health Subcommittee. Thanks for joining us, Representative Eshoo.
Thank you, and good morning.
So give us your assessment of this deal that senators have reached, the provisions that you're glad to see, where you still have some concerns.
Well, first, of the information that I'm absorbing right now, because this was an agreement that was reached in the wee hours of this morning. But front and center, I would say that there are four major parts to this. First of all, help and relief for workers, workers that have been furloughed, workers that have been laid off. There is a dramatic expansion of unemployment insurance so that there will be a consistent paycheck until the virus ends. And we all know that our unemployment insurance system is something that has been in place. There are offices across the country, and the Democrats worked very, very hard to make sure that workers would not the workers would be made whole. So that's very important. And April 1st is coming. People have mortgages to pay, rent to pay, utility bills to pay, et cetera. There's a Marshall Plan for our health care system, which is obviously front and center. And there are significant funds that will go to hospitals, to community health centers, and that obviously is very important. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy, and so there is significant funding to assist small businesses, both in terms of no-interest loans and forgivable loans as well. And I don't know if that's I believe that those that hinges on their retaining their employees. And the other, the fourth point is help for states and local governments. I served for 10 years on the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, and I'm very pleased to see that in the Senate bill because they really are taking on a heavy load of more services. And, of course, counties in California are responsible for providing health care locally. This is, I believe, the single largest bill in terms of a price tag, $2 trillion. Of course, this is not, it's the Senate bill, but I know that Speaker Pelosi has been working very closely with Senator Schumer so that House and Senate priorities in terms of the Democrats would be met. It also.
So given that.
Yes.
Given that, are you confident that the House will fall in line over the Senate version?
Well, I'm sure that we're going to have a conference call today to go over details. I'm sure that because we're not in Washington, D.C., that members will have many, many questions about details of the bill, and we need to know that because it's $2 trillion. There are some provisions in this that where there's an elimination of the $3 billion bailout for big oil that the Republicans had in the bill. There was an elimination of the what's called the secret bailout provision that would have allowed bailouts to corporations. Very importantly, because we have San Francisco International Airport, we have three major airports in the Bay Area that hundreds of thousands of jobs across the airline industry will be saved. But it prohibits airlines from stock buybacks and CEO bonuses. So I think in terms of the highlights of the bill, that these are all essential provisions that, again, are going to bring relief to workers, a dramatic expansion, as I said, of unemployment insurance, so that employees will have a consistent paycheck until the virus ends. The Marshall Plan for our nation's health care systems, and very importantly, the emphasis on help for small businesses and, as I said, help to states and local governments.
Yes, so then safe to say that you'll support it because the Speaker is counting on unanimous consent, as we've heard.
Yes, that provision in the House rules would allow for what unanimous consent means is that no one objects and that the Senate bill as written would be passed by both the Senate and the House, go directly to the president's desk for his signature into law.
Right. And you don't object, Congressman?
Well, we don't have all of the fine print in terms of the bill. But it seems to me that what I explained were top priorities for me, as well as some other things that are in the bill. And I hope that there will be a unanimous consent passage in the House so that we can move on. It's essential. It's critically important, not just essential, critically important that people across the country are helped and that we can move through this with the resources that are necessary to address this virus that has caused a cascading economy, disruption in everyone's life. But on the virus side, we want to make sure that our healthcare workers have what they need, hospitals have what they need, local governments and states have what they need, small businesses have what they need, and
it's a long list.
So it's a critical time in the life of our country, and the power of the federal government and its purse has to come into play into people's lives in a very real way.
South Bay Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
We're joined now by Jennifer Habercorn. She's congressional reporter for the LA Times. Welcome to Forum, Jennifer Habercorn.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we're also joined by you, our listeners. If you have questions about the $2 trillion stimulus bill, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also post your comments or questions on Facebook, Twitter at KQED Forum, or email us at forum@kqed.org. And Jennifer Habercorn, we heard Congresswoman Eshoo give us some of the highlights of the bill, but could you add a little more? Could you give us some specific details, especially in terms of direct payments to most American adults and some of the benefits as well?
Yeah, it sounds like the direct payments are going to be $1,200 per person, per adult, I should say, and $500 per child. They'll phase out gradually beginning at adjusted gross income of $75,000 and end at $99,000. We don't have all the details yet, but it sounds like that's going to be based on your 2018 taxes. And there's going to be some unemployment benefits for folks who perhaps, you know, had a different income in 2018 than they have today. such as furloughed employees, freelancers, gig workers. There was a lot of concern that one's 2018 income might not be indicative of what they make today. I know lawmakers who are trying to address that, and we don't have details yet on how that might shake out. But that's where that's where they were headed, and we don't have the final text quite yet.
Yes, and as Congresswoman, as you pointed out, there's also $150 billion for state and local stimulus funds, $130 billion for hospitals. I mean, one of the reasons that this reached agreement between Democrats and Senate Republicans is because it sounds like the White House was willing to make a pretty significant concession on oversight. Can you describe what happened there?
Yeah, so this is based on about a $500 billion account for large corporations. Obviously, that's an enormous amount of money. The Treasury Secretary is going to have discretion as to which companies will get that funding. And Democrats were concerned that it would essentially be a slush fund, that Secretary Mnuchin would be able to hand this money out to whoever he wants with very little oversight. Democrats say they've added oversight provisions. Again, we don't have the details of what that looks like yet, but I imagine that's going to include more immediate information as to who gets that money. And apparently the funding for some of the industries that have been hit particularly hard, such as airlines, is going to be a little less than what it originally was in the bill. There was also a lot of concern about the cruise industry getting a bailout.
Yes.
To use a derivative, derisive term, I should say, that looks like it's not going to be in the bill. And I should add, that's for corporations. There's also going to be small business money, money directly targeted at small businesses, such as loans and payments, to help small businesses remain afloat, particularly if they keep their workers on their payroll. The Small Business Fund is designed to ensure that small businesses keep moving. They would rather have their workers stay employed than see those workers go to the unemployment lines.
And well, speaking of businesses, Bill asks, is there any provision in the stimulus bill for business interruption payments?
Yeah, that's kind of how they've phrased some of this funding, particularly loans. You know, this isn't business as usual. Mnuchin has specifically said business interruption. You know, essentially, the federal government has put a pause on the economy, put a pause on telling people to go to work. And so that's why they're hoping to use this money as a bridge between now and whenever life returns to normal. And, you know, we've already seen discussions as to whether this is going to be enough. This is the phase three coronavirus bill, and there's already discussions on Capitol Hill on phases four and five.
Well, let me go to callers. Karen in San Francisco, start us off. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my.
And Karen, I think we may have lost you there. And let's go next to Mary in San Rafael while we try to get Karen back. Mary, join us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I lost my job in October, and I believe my unemployment's about to run out in about 5 weeks. I have a mortgage to pay, and I don't know if I'll be able to get the forbearance program. I'm scared to call my bank about it because I didn't lose my job because of coronavirus. So my question is, you know, how do I get help?
Mary, thanks. Jennifer Habercorn?
Unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer right now, but I do know that under this bill that's in discussion in the Senate right now, that unemployment benefits would be expanded to 13 weeks. Because the caller said that she didn't lose her job because of coronavirus, I'm a little unsure as to whether this is going to apply for her. Unfortunately, until we have the full text of the bill and folks have a time to read it, a lot of these questions are a little hard to answer. But I will say that a lot of folks are going to be reading these details very quickly, and we're hoping to get answers as soon as possible. I can't even tell you how many questions I personally have gotten from, you know, readers and other folks on these details, you know, just underscoring how important they are to the average American and business owners.
And given that, I mean, we heard Representative Eshoo say that she needs to read the details in the bill more closely. Do you think that this will pass the House and also pass the House with the extra hurdle of unanimous consent? I mean, you can describe also how and when that's typically used and what your thoughts are on passage.
Yeah, it's really an unusual thing for something this big. I mean, this is one of the largest, perhaps the largest piece of legislation that has ever passed Congress. So it is an enormous amount of money. And you think back as to some of the huge legislative fights over things like the Affordable Care Act, which was not nearly this much money, and that the House is considering passing this with no roll call vote, essentially getting every single member of Congress to agree to it, is pretty remarkable. And the fact that it actually stands a chance to pass that way, you know, really just reflects the moment that we're in right now and the urgency that every lawmaker, whether they're progressive or extremely conservative, is worried and, you know, wants to get this money out quickly. So what needs to happen is the text needs to come out, then the Senate would vote. And senators are still here in Washington. So they need everybody on board to essentially hold that vote quickly, but they don't need every lawmaker to agree to it for it to pass quickly. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell just got on the Senate floor a couple minutes ago and indicated that the Senate does want to vote today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has indicated that she wants to do this by unanimous consent. They would not do it today, though. The soonest they would do it is tomorrow. And, you know, I think a lot of members are probably in the same boat as Congresswoman Eshoo, as you said, wants to see the details. But we're already seeing, you know, a couple hurdles in New York. Governor Cuomo said he does not have enough money for New York in this bill and essentially called it a drop in the bucket. And that's going to really raise some problems with New York lawmakers. And I'm sure as other governors look through this bill, they're going to be making the same calculations. And then every lawmaker in those states are going to be making a decision. Do I vote for this or no? And so, you know, I think one thing that we need to look out for in a bill like this is that folks might raise concerns, but then ultimately decide I need to vote for it or I need to put my stamp of approval on it and then try to get a better deal in the next bill. And I think in a situation like this, we might see some of that. But, you know, that's something I'm going to be watching for the next 24 or 48 hours.
Yes, because it doesn't sound like this bill has the dramatic increase in food stamp benefits that House Democrats were seeking. Do you know mm-hmm. how this differs significantly from what the House initially proposed?
Yeah, the House bill was definitely more expansive. Like you said, food stamps, there's a lot of concern about the Postal Service and whether it has the funding to get through the summer. And so that's something that the House Democrats have said that they would want to put in a bill. There's still concern as to whether this is even enough for the hospitals and the personal protective equipment that we've heard so much about. And I think one thing we're going to see is folks are going to have to make a decision whether they want to try to change this bill again to get that in there or whether that can wait until, like I said, the fourth coronavirus bill, which, you know, we're almost certainly going to see within the next days or weeks.
And I believe we have Karen back with us. Karen in San Francisco, join us.
Thank you. Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I'm calling because I've been trying to find out whether people who are retired, Social Security folks, are they included in this package even if they're not currently working?
Benefits for retirees, Jennifer Habercorn, any sense of that?
You know, I don't think that's in there, but again, it's going to be based on your adjusted gross income for 2018. So that would be the figure that you'd want to look out for on your 2018 taxes. Again, the benefits would phase out gradually, beginning at $75,000 and end at $99,000.
And Emily asks, does the stimulus package help gig workers, green card holders? I know gig workers have a big question mark over their heads about how they can, you know, weather this time.
Yeah, Democrats did add some provisions to the bill that Senate Republicans drafted that would include gig workers, freelancers, and other furloughed employees in the unemployment benefits that would be provided under this bill.
And let me try to get another call in. We'll go to Sohana in Redwood City. Hi, Sohana.
Hi, I'm a small business owner. I own a pediatric therapy clinic. And I have spoken with both my general liability insurance and my business owner's insurance, and they are both saying that this situation isn't something that they'll cover an income loss over or any of those kinds of things. And I'm just wondering if there's any wording in the bill that will help us get our insurance to cover something like this that is catastrophic and unexpected.
Thanks, Sohana. Earlier drafts did try to do something for small businesses, but would it help Sohana?
You know, I'm not sure how the insurance coverage would work, and it doesn't sound like it's in this bill, although, again, we may see that later today. I would think that that's probably something that would be taken up later. But there is small business help outside of insurance. There's going to be loans, completely forgiven loans, other payments made to small businesses, particularly if they keep their workers on their payroll. So that's going to be something that we're going to want to look out for when the text is out, exactly how those provisions are spelled out and if a small business such as the callers would qualify for that.
Jennifer Habercorn, can you just put in context for us just the unprecedented nature of a $2 trillion economic stimulus bill? And this is, of course, after, you know, $100 billion plus boost to paid sick leave and unemployment insurance and an $8.3 billion emergency supplemental bill that was passed so far to deal with this coronavirus. I mean, this is pretty incredible.
It really is. I mean, it's almost hard to put into words, and that's my job, how big this is. I mean, if you look again at the Affordable Care Act, it was about half of this, and that was a pretty enormous benefit. If you look at the 2008 financial crisis, I mean, this bill really dwarfs TARP and the economic stimulus that was put into place to prevent the economy from collapsing then. I mean, these lawmakers, both Republicans and Democrats, have just been told that the economy is really going to be in trouble if these provisions are not put into place. And they really underscore that this is going to be a long-term situation. I know the president has said things like he wants the economy back up and running by Easter, but given the dramatic changes put into place just in the last week with the huge numbers of people not working and laid off, this really underscores that this is going to be a long-term situation, and they're trying to prevent a recession or even a depression because of this. And that's why you're seeing lawmakers who normally talk about the deficit and debt concerns willing to spend so much money here.
And you're saying there is more to come, though it's unclear whether House Democrats will be able to vote remotely on any of these things.
Yeah.
Jennifer Habercorn.
That's going to be a big concern in coming weeks.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jennifer Habercorn, congressional reporter for the LA Times, thanks so much for talking with us this morning and answering some of our questions.
Good to talk with you.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments as well. We're keeping an eye on the stimulus bill. Stay with us for more Forum as we talk about the self-quarantining measures that the president would like to see eased. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.